Boy, oh boy, welcome to Let's Do a Radio segment of Miss Inez Says. We got a lot to talk about today. The topic is right now, right later, and zombies. Yes, I said zombies. Today is Tuesday, May 10th, and I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Baku Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. So please call into the show at 845-241-9985 and let's talk about it. And the topic is right now, right later. Is what we're doing now going to be right for later in our lives? And zombies, are we the new walking dead? So we got we got Sergeant Parks on the line with me, and a few other people are going to be joining us later on. But Sergeant Parks, is right now what we do good for later? What do you think? Sergeant Parks, you have me on mute.
Well, it's a couple of ways you could try to attempt to answer that question and stuff, but, you know, it depends on, you know, what is going to be our priorities?
Okay, in your eyes.
If we don't have any priorities on what's going on, I guess we could dib dab or whatever around it. But I think we just need a consensus and stuff on how we can come together to mount an attack on different topics. You know, like, you know, looking at all the reports, for example, for our kids, they're going through a mental health crisis. They're committing suicide. And nobody seems to have a finger on that. You know, the experts do. They all know what's going on. And then are we leaving that up to somebody else to decide when our kids are going to get the care, because I don't think it's going to take place? And then, of course, we got the climate change that nobody believes in. We got a war that's going on that's affecting how we live. How can that be? How can somebody be fighting a war next door to Russia and it's affecting how we live? Okay.
In the United States and all over the world.
Yeah, prices going sky high, and we're thinking that Biden and the Republicans them is gonna get us out of this, and I don't think so. I think that we have to make some choices and try and get ourselves out of it. You know, I don't believe what they're pushing.
I'm going to also bring Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Is that you on the line with us?
Yeah.
That's you out there?
Yeah, that's me.
How are you doing? Well,
hey, man.
Good. So did you hear what Sergeant Price was talking about?
I got in, I guess, on the tail end about where he was saying with our children and mental health and with the war going on and the prices that's affecting everybody all over the world. And so Biden can't get us out of it. Nope, Biden can't get us out of it. We can't even get ourselves out of it. It's going to take God to get us out of everything. It's people who are called by his name would humble themselves and repent and turn to him from our sinful ways, that he'll hear our cry and hear our prayers and heal this land, because the land need a healing. from the government all the way down. The church, everybody need a healing. Every country, because it's affecting everybody. So everybody needs to be healed.
Right.
Everybody needs to be restored. And it's not so much physical healing. It's mental healing. It's emotional, financial healing. Healing is healing, and this world needs healing, and only turning to God and calling out on Him with sincere heart that He would step in and do what only He can do, because we don't have no power. The only power we have is what's given to us. The only authority we have is what's, you know, given to us just as a people in general, you know. And we can do all that we can do with what we can do. But the bottom line is, I believe, turning to God and calling on God and recognizing and acknowledging that He's God and He's the only one who can get us out of this mess, get the world out of the mess. And the world didn't get in the mess just by itself. It took people to get us to this place where all these things began to happen. And you can't blame the president because the war took place, you know. It was a man that had his own agenda, probably been planning it and plotting it for a long time, way before COVID came. He probably been strategizing what he going to do, how he going to do, because I'm a believer of this. When a person sets up in their mind of something they want to do, and when they're very adamant about what they want to do and they're determined to do what they want to do and they have that confidence that I can accomplish what I want to do, ain't nothing going to stop them but God.
We can't
stop them. If you got a mad man that done went mad and he on the loose and he killing, police can't stop him. You know, to a degree, they can corner him off and, you know, shoot him down and so forth like that. But we can't take the matters in our hand and stop a mad man, you know. So, but I just believe, our world is in a mess, you know, and our young people, they're committing suicide or they're getting involved with all kinds of drugs and stuff and killing and, you know, and being killed or being shot down is something, you know. And I was telling somebody today, I said, you know, people nowadays got this saying, everybody's doing it. So then if everybody's doing it, I guess everybody think that because everybody's doing it, you know, it's the right thing to do or it's okay to do it, you know. And I think about the consequences. Within our own, within the power that's given us, we have to make different decisions and different choices for ourselves and to help our young people who just don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. And it kills my heart, you know. It kills my heart. And we can try to reach them with love and kindness and encouraging. Some will listen and some won't, but, you know, just doing what you can
do.
For those who will take heed to the wisdom that is speaking, that's crying out to them, you know, that this world is no joke. It's real. Life is real. It ain't easy. It's a struggle.
Real.
You know, but you can make it through. If you make the right choices, if you put God first, and if you choose to do the right choice, regardless of what people are doing around you, you do the right thing, you know.
Right. Because the topic is right now, right later. So is what we're doing right now, is it right for later? That's what our topic is. That's one of our topics, and the next one we'll talk about after a while. But we also have joining us 3145, Mr. Aaron Woody out of Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing today? And thank you for joining us. How are
good,
you?
Good, yourself?
Oh, good. So what do you think about is right now, right later? And it could be anything. So it could be stocks, it could be, you know, life, it could be climate change, it could be anything. So what are your thoughts, and what would you like to bring to the table?
Well, as far as the right now, what we're doing right now, I feel as though as far as political, it's not advantageous for us right now. I mean, Trump's making a big move getting off Secretary of State because that's control of the voting rights. He's in control of voting rights. So he's literally got 22 candidates in 22 states that believe that the election wasn't rigged. And they said this publicly, but they're 100% behind Trump. And I just think that our fight for rights as far as voting, and it will fight an uphill battle because they did it so bad. You know, it's easy for them to switch laws like that, but it's hard to get them to switch back. And then they give us a little strong pony, oh, you got a judge now and this and that, but really they're picking away a small piece. Where the power lies. You know, the power doesn't lie as far as having a vice president, but she can't say that. I mean, she's really powerless. You know, she's just a trophy. Say, oh, look, hey, black people are out. I have this black woman, this lady who represents you guys, and you should be happy to have that. And so, meanwhile, they're trying to do underbelly things. They're taking over. They're trying to get small government. Small part of government for a Secretary of State, House Assembly. I mean, those are the powers, and those are the things they're making their move for. I just don't think we're fighting back enough when it comes to Trump making his move. Like, what move are we making right now that's going to help us later? Not much. And when we lose the...
Go ahead.
I would say if we don't figure a way out to combat him on this level, then the right now is good.
And, another thing, go ahead, Sergeant Price.
Well, I was just going to come and say he's absolutely right. That's one thing that we can do, because I think everything that's put in our faces right now is just to see what kind of reaction we want to have, because normally what happens is they throw these roadblocks up, you can't do this and you can't do that, and we take it and we don't do nothing. Right now we should be registering people to vote. We should be registering young people 18 years and over to vote, and throw that back at them, you know, see what the next line in the deal is going to be. You know, that's just a roadblock. All of these southern, all of these Republican states that came up with that, and incidentally, right in my home, right in Georgia, stuff is where all of the roots came from, okay? They didn't believe that somebody was going to go back in them backwoods of Georgia and register them black folks and stuff to vote. They never would have believed that. People would have bet billions of dollars on what was going to happen in Georgia, and they would have lost. But that's what happened in Texas. The same thing happening in Texas and stuff. Those black folks that traditionally did not vote, they didn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's a big old, we got a big voting in Arizona too. You know, we got a big voting deal. But so what we should be doing is we should be trying to get people registered to vote and make sure that they go by all of these roadblocks. You know, that they say they put in front of us, makes okay, no problem. So you just get yourself registered to vote and be ready to get your vote to the place where it's supposed to go. Don't say that, oh, now that they don't have voting places and all of this stuff. And they did the same thing here. Then they took out all of the district voting boxes. You could drive up to them and then drop your ballot, and then you can't do that. Then you got to go stand in the line to vote, you know. So we definitely need to do that. That's a valid point.
And see, right now, what we're doing right now is a right for later? No. What they're doing to us right now is a right for later? No. They're treating us like Boo Boo the Clown. They're trying to get rid of us, saying that we don't even have any writing votes, voting rights. And that's another thing we need to probably delve into, is like, okay, we've been here for this long, and you're going to take away our rights again? It's like almost taking us back to the, we won't talk about slave days, but anyway, that's another topic for another day.
But you know, we're not using our collective power, Inez. We're not using power, you know, and that is to just get together and state your case. You know, everybody where they are, you know, get enough people to state what your case is and what our reaction to this is going to be. We're going to register people to vote, you know.
Right.
And what they're really hinging on is this 81 to 90 million people that Trump already has. I don't even think it's that many people and stuff, but the most powerful thing they got is people that have money, okay, that's willing to spend on these elections. And that's another thing that we need to be talking about, where the money come from. They still ain't figure out how Trump got all of this money and stuff. Some that went to England, and then all of a sudden got money flooding his campaign coming from, and that's against the law. You know, nobody seems to be thinking about that, but where are they getting this money from?
I think that they're printing it themselves. I'm just kidding. Because all of a sudden, when we need money, we don't have.
Right.
We have a whole bunch.
They control the Supreme Court. They control the Congress. Okay. Then they try, and now they're going back to try and tell a woman what her rights is. I'm thinking that all these women, they should be saying, God, no, you ain't going to do this to men. And women should just be going out there. I don't agree with the abortion deal before somebody to tell me what I can't do with my body, okay, and how am I supposed to be. I mean, I'm not going out killing people. You know, don't tell me that I can't. I made a mistake and I got pregnant and then I can't do this. And then some of these stupid states are talking about if you do that, then they could execute you. How cruel and inhumane is that? Woman made a mistake and got pregnant. Then she went out and had an abortion. Now you can get killed. Now you can, by the law, they want to put down in the law that now they can you can be executed behind that. How insane is that?
And I have one caller saying it's spiritual warfare, it's not political. Scales are always unbalanced. The world and governments belong to Satan. That's why, well, that's what she just, you know, she just comments in that aspect. Because, We're basically set up to fail. If we don't turn, as Ms. Carolyn, Reverend Carolyn was saying, to God, We're just doomed, period. We are just basically doomed. And that's a shame, but because we have to be accountable for ourselves. Forget and everybody's trying, not everybody, but the government's trying to protect, which is nice and it's good, but they can't protect all from all what, you know, from a woman being raped. They can't protect someone who know that the child is not going to be healthy. They can't protect. I mean, you can only do so much. And so a woman is in charge of her body. She is the one who has to answer God. Let a woman be a woman. And what she does, she has to answer for. Quit telling me that, okay, I had 6 abortions, and so that's 6 deaths that I had to take, I have to be responsible for. What are you going to do, stone me? Take me out to the country and stone me? Because I had abortions of 6 children, you know, that's just something that woman should have to be responsible for. Not everybody else, but I guess they don't think a woman has the intelligence to know what she's doing with her body. So we have all these politics in place trying to tell us what to do and what not to do and how to do it and where to do it.
Yeah, we should step up our game. Our game should be now to be teaching these young men and these young women and stuff, you know, how to protect themselves and stuff, and then what the future to hold for them. You know, if you praise these kids and stuff, you know, I mean, you know, if you praise them and tell them that, guess what? You're a beautiful person. You can do anything you want. You stand behind that and you stand behind them. They can make good decisions, uh-huh. but there's going to be a percentage uh-huh. of them that won't. Going to be a percentage of us that fall into the same trap, you know. So that's another good point and stuff that we should be talking about. Okay, so this is what they're throwing up at you. Before you go ahead on and do something that you're going to be sorry for, maybe you should be mm-hmm. thinking about protecting yourself. You know, that should come first. You know, you can't let mm-hmm. your heart mm-hmm. go out on your sleeve. Oh, I just love him, and he's just so cute. And then all of a sudden, he gone tomorrow, but you left, you know, with a problem.
That,
so that's what we be talking
that's
about.
What's
and
up.
Don't call him. Mm-hmm. Don't scream at him. Don't be telling them, don't do this, or you're going to get this, or you're going to get that. You know, just time mm-hmm. and patience. Okay, if you do this, you know, the results can't be that way, you know. And then we really mm-hmm. don't know mm-hmm. what our kids is doing. We don't know what they're doing.
And that's part of the next topic, but we don't, you know, we try to be, what do you call it, be example for our children, but some of us are the worst example for our children.
Oh my God.
We are the worst examples for our children. It's like, I'd rather go to Jimmy's daddy down the street than to be to my dad because he is a drunk alcoholic. He beats up mom, blah, 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 so on and so forth. It's like, no. So let me go down to Jimmy's house and see how they act. And they are respectful to each other, to the mother and to the children, so on and so forth.
But what everybody's not really, what I would like to bring to attention is every time it's something to do with the black folks or the black being killed by police, every time we get some type of uproar about what's happening to us, we get deflected by other issues for America. You know, when George Floyd mm-hmm. came mm-hmm. out, they had the Me Too movement. It's like every time, even back in the civil rights, they came up with the Now movement. It's like what they do is they divide and conquer. They'll go after a female issue, which brings the black females over to, you know, to an issue that deals with them and white women. So it gives them a little stress. But if there's some, every time they bring this stuff up, it's not coincidental. It's always every time we got a movement going on or we're treated a certain way, we want to speak up about them not teaching about race in school. They're trying to strike that down. And a lot of states have stricken that down. The diversity of America and how it was built and what filled America as far as their tyranny, as far as African Americans. They actually said you're not allowed to teach that in school. And I was saying,
yeah.
I do understand what
yeah.
everybody's saying about the Roe v. Wade. That's the actual thing is every time it's something to do with us coming up as far as like these voting rights and stuff, there's something always thrown in there to deflect us from concentrating on a serious thing for ourselves. So they throw three or four different things at. And when they do, it's always something they got to do with women and our respect, which I understand. But their timing is always whenever it's something rightful or wrongful done to our people, all of a sudden, they're these gender issues. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they're not good issues and they should be fought. But
mm-hmm.
they divide us and
mm-hmm.
conquer us on that. You know what I mean? Every time you go down
right.
history, every time something seriously happens in this country, it's always, okay, well, let's talk about the Me Too movement, or let's talk about the LGBT community movement, or the Asians movement. You know what I'm saying? What's happening to them? Every time something serious pops up for us that can bring attention to worldwide, they always get into where the divide and conquer, they say Roe v. Wade, or the Now movement, or women aren't being paid enough, which is all true. But the timing
uh-huh.
that these things
wrong.
Pop up is when something is going, an atrocity is going toward us every single time. It's just that coincidental
every
that all
time.
This is coming together, going to these voting rights and what they're trying to strip us of, you know, and how our kids are gotten, et cetera, and so forth.
I agree 100%, you know, but the thing about it and stuff is we don't learn behind those things. You know, we don't come together and stuff, and then we don't have these conversations, you know, and then root on ourselves. We gotta put money on ourselves. I mean, just think about
mm-hmm.
it. 44, 44.5 million black folks in America, and our, they want to say that our estimated worth is 1%. 1%.
Wow.
1%. Okay. And I know for a fact that we spend money traveling and entertaining and buying clothes and whatever and stuff, you know. And then we don't have people that in particular places as managers of these places that we be going and staying at. You know what I'm talking about? See, so we're handicapped. We're handicapped by ourselves. We're handicapped by ourselves, and we're waiting on somebody to come and lead us out of this. No, we have to. We have to lead, and we have to follow. We have to lead, and we have to follow. We have to practice what we preach. Our biggest thing, and the reason that everybody know they got us, is because if they pull you aside, Inez, over there in the corner, and tell you one thing about me, and then pull me aside and tell me that you said that, and we ain't got nothing to talk about. You know? We don't have nothing. We don't even confront each other. We don't even confront each other to say, oh, Brother Parks, no, that was taken out of context and stuff, you know? But my grandmama used to say the way they used to play this game in College Park, Georgia, and East Point, Georgia, and where we were, where my ancestors was actually raised, they used to play the game and stuff and say, oh, yeah, when Mr. Charlie come and ask you about John, then you listen and say, oh, yeah, I think I heard that about John. Then you go back and you get with John and everybody and let them know what Mr. Charlie said. Okay, so when Mr. Charlie goes to somebody else, everybody's playing the game, and so at the end of the day, Mr. Charlie is a fool. Okay, that was the only way they could survive. They weren't going to survive and stuff with giving up their brothers and their sisters and stuff, and then cutting their numbers down and still not getting the righteous wages and stuff. But we don't even do that. We have the worst relationship of any of God's creatures. It's like the devil is saying, you know. We don't even think that there's a higher power. Well, I didn't pay my rent this month, and I didn't get this month, and I'm just so, you know, there's no other options. I feel there's no other options and stuff, you know. But we have to control our own destiny. We have to come together.
Our narrative.
Agree to disagree and work in whatever area you're in toward the means. The means, the ends justify the means. So if you're working on a point that I could be knowing about now, and I can get some people and stuff, and let's work on that same point, you know. And what we got to do is we got to project. It's a collective responsibility. The black folks have to project who we are. We're letting people say who we are, you know. You see something happen on Jerry Springer and stuff about my baby daddy. That's my baby daddy. And they're all up in there raising like they're stupid or something, you know. And then the whole 10 million people is looking at them. So at the end of the day, them people that don't really know many black folks, that's the first thing they think about. Oh, now who is that baby? Who is his baby dad? It's just insane and stuff. We need to come together, because once we do that, it's just like when we was marching and stuff, when Dr. Kingdom was marching and stuff. Well, they brought all of those numbers out. People paid attention. The March on Washington, the March in Montgomery, all of those marches and stuff, people paid attention. Black Lives Matter and stuff. Okay, when they started marching, guess what? People paid attention. Okay, so we're not going to get nothing if we don't do nothing. Nothing from nothing is nothing. And I'm saying we need to be preparing our young people. We need to be preparing our young people and stuff, you know. And maybe all of them won't listen, but we can get some that will, you know.
There's a trickling, and maybe that trickling can help bring those others along. You know, you never know what a young person will do, you know, when they're faced with this, I won't say challenge or diversity, but, or adversity, I should say, excuse me, adversity. But it's, and listeners are saying that, you know, we still have a lot of distractions, you know, as we were saying earlier, divide to self-destruct, because, you know, we're like crabs in a barrel. We're always bringing each other down. And then, again, it's still a setup. We always seem to follow Mr. Charlie, and we don't seem to venture off on our own. So once we get that mentality, no, we're never gonna be anything, because we're always, you know, following the breadcrumbs. Forget the breadcrumbs. Make your own loaf. Create
that's
your
right.
own loaf of bread. And, you know, start a new trend and do something different. And that's what people are gonna start looking at, is like, oh, they're coming up with something new. Like you said, the Black Lives Matter, this and that, and so on and so forth. So, what we need to do is just be our own people and come together and quit thinking that Aaron is going to be, you know, top dog, or Mr. Parks is going to be top dog. Once we come together and join hands, we can be successful. We can be powerful. I mean, we're already powerful. We just don't know that we are powerful, because we're so
It's all about economics and how we spend our money. That's our power. That's what the Asian shows. That's what the Spanish community shows. These different ethnic communities are teaching us where you spend your money is your power. That's where you're recognized.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but Black Lives Movement and all that, it was a distraction. Because we know our children are seeing, are starting something that never finishes out. I mean, they stepped
right.
up as far as, let's be example, Colin Kaepernick. People were kneeling. No one's kneeling now. They weighed us out. They weighed us out, and they look at our emotions die down after a couple months. You know, it rises real strong, and then the LGB community literally controls Black Lives Matter. You know
that,
what I mean?
That's right.
And that's sad, and that's the setup. Just like when the NAACP went and got Bear Bryant to speak for us about the church bombings in Alabama. They got a football coach.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because you know, they know we're emotional, and then when our emotion dies down, it fizzles out. Well, this is what our young kids are seeing. So, you know, they're not seeing longevity. Like, for instance, our plus is in the entertainment world. Like when Muhammad Ali and Will Chamberlain stepped up, they all came together collectively and stepped up. Now, I don't, you know, they're so smart, because when they started this Black Lives Movement and everything was going, NBA jumped on, it was all what they're going to do for diversity, they're going to do this, and they're going to speak about racism, and then it just fizzles away. You know what I mean? And our young kids are seeing that. They're seeing us not really complete something. And they're looking at, well, if you're not going to complete this for us, then we're really not going to pay you no attention. That's a divided conflict.
Right.
They got the black men and black women divided. Now they got the children divided from us now. You know what I mean? Because the entertainment
world, because they don't see us doing nothing.
They have to get from their writing.
We have
people who got microphones in their faces constantly.
Did anybody ever read A.G. Gaston, The Black Titan?
Mm-mm. No, not me.
You guys, I read this book 3 times. You guys should find this book and read this book, okay? This brother's, this started in the 30s and stuff. This brother's out of Alabama, okay? He started a savings and a loan place, a company, okay? And up until, I think, maybe 2020, I think this whole this loan company is still going. You guys need to read that, because you're absolutely right. Both of you guys are right. We should be having our own investments going. This dude started this company with black people running the company and stuff, and then they were invested in the company, okay? When he died, his thing was his kids thought that, well, they're going to get the company, they're going to get all of these millions and stuff. He left that company to those people that were running the company. I mean, he left his family well off, but the problem was, the thing was, those people that worked in that savings and loan association and stuff ran the company, you know, and they paid themselves the wages. And then you guys should read that. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be investing in ourselves. 1% of the hundreds of trillions of dollars in America, that's what we're worth, 1%. You know, when I read that, I couldn't believe it. I said, what? This can't be real.
Okay.
But we don't have the money for our communities. Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's the name? It's H.G. Gaskins. And what's the name of the book, please?
The book is A.G. Gaskins, The Making of a Black.
Gaskin.
Yeah, The Making of a Black American Millionaire. Okay, it's called Black Titan. And his daughter,
Black
one
Titan?
Of his daughters, Black Titan. T-I-T-A-N, Black Titan.
Mm-hmm. Titan, mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's actually a blueprint, you know, if you want to start a loan association. And then he built these different, he bought property and stuff, and he built these different things. He had a filler station, and he had other properties that he was selling, had a lawn company, you know. This is absolutely amazing. A lot of black folks, I'm asking if you ever read this book, they say, oh, well, no, they never heard of it, you know. But that's what we should be doing, investing. The money coming, the money that we generate stays in our community,
uh-huh.
And that's our gross, that speaks for us. You know, we
right.
buy property and stuff, you know. If you own property and stuff, then you got a little stake. If you own three or four
mm-hmm,
properties
mm-hmm.
and stuff, you have a little stake in stuff. You know,
right,
I had this
right.
this young kid told me and said, "Well, I wish I was Donald Trump, you know, because I bet he's just fat. He got all kinds of money and stuff. I bet he'd be flashing hundreds and all those." Don't get it twisted. Them guys don't
mm-hmm.
use no cash money. They use their credit. They borrow against their interest. You know?
Right.
And
right.
he's just so famous for cheating. He's been able, with his dad, Donald Trump was been able to cheat on that. Okay?
Mm.
Like we go and we figure out a way how to beat our taxes and stuff and then get some return. Man, Donald Trump's daddy was a great how you call it, magician in that. You know, hiding his assets. Getting the government
mm-hmm.
to pay him money, okay? Pay him
yeah,
money. All you
yeah.
gotta do is own a few buildings, big structures, big buildings and stuff, you know.
Mhm, mhm. And so, listener was saying, Black Wall Street was such a threat, it was destroyed. Anyone that goes out too far, they will destroy. People are trying, but. We are the chosen race and will always be under attack. Behind the scenes, threats are real. See, when we come up, you know, that's just how it is. And it says, Black Americans, another listener, have been balling ever since for a very long time, but it's not a sexy truth. It's a truth that makes modern people peddling oppression messages very uncomfortable. Selling victim blood is a billionaire dollar economy, and everyone has invested in it, 10 billion. So,
yep.
I mean, if we just came together, we could overtake the world, but we are too afraid to raise our head out of the gopher hole because we're afraid we're going to get bopped or slapped off. Well, let a few people get bopped and slapped off, but if that's crab in the barrel mentality again. We got to
yeah.
get from behind that because once we come together,
we don't trust each other. That's the biggest thing. If more of us were seen together, okay, and now I'm not
uh-huh.
talking about no basketball games or no football games and stuff. If more of us were seen together and stuff, you know, in a
uh-huh.
public sense, okay, that's really why they really fear us because they know that once we're determined people, you know. And they want to cut
yeah.
that out from up under us, you know. And right now, for the last 15 years, black women has been
mm-hmm.
the most threat. You know, they figure that, oh, the black men and stuff, well, they don't talk to each other no way. So now black women and stuff. Well, why you think this dude and stuff is promoting black women to different things? That's because he's getting back at the Republicans. That's what Biden is doing, getting back at the Republicans and stuff, you know? And I agree.
Right.
Do it.
And it's a lack of unity, you know, caller or listener was saying, you know, not fear at all, but mostly the lack of interest in unity. We don't want to be unified because if I'm not the boss, nope, you know, I don't want to be a part of it. Well, who has to be the boss with all these great minds? I'm just saying. Exactly. With all these great minds, if we brought all these great minds, like, would come together, can you imagine what we could do? Because we are already a $1 trillion, what do you call it, market, you know, hair, nails, clothes, all this stuff. Can you imagine if Black Wall Street was still here? It would be the blackest of the Wall Street. But as callers and listeners are saying, you know, we don't want to come together. We, you know, if I'm not the boss, ain't nobody going to be the boss, or I'm taking my game and, you know, packing it up and going elsewhere, which is a shame because, I mean, we are so intelligent. I mean, if it wasn't for us, so many of these things out here in the world today, right now, it's a right for later, would not even be, I mean, everything, you know, elevators, refrigerators, stoplights, just everything. If we went back into history and saw all the things that we created, can you imagine what this world would be like if we were just come together and would teach each other, teach one, reach one, and so on and so forth. But no, we have to have that crab mentality. I'm coming out the barrel before anybody else. No, join up, reach down, and grab each other up so that we can be lifted up and we can come together. So it's a shame. Black people who acquired wealth in slavery.
You guys ever hear Shaka Zulu?
Oh, yeah, I heard Shaka Zulu. Mm-hmm.
You guys should read about Shaka Zulu, you know, because they used to, all of the tribes and stuff used to war and not spill no blood. And it was about a show of force, you know. And what we learned from that is that the culture in which, you know, we're all kings and queens. It's just that whoever the king favored, his favorite wife and his favorite sons are, you know, those are the ones that carry the power. You know, nobody even want to talk about the fact that we are from kings and queens. Nobody even wants to think about that. So what that taught us and stuff was to carry our pride with us. We don't care who's the number one. I'm just as much as you are. And then the shamans and stuff did what? The shamans stood between trying to make sure that everybody is at least trying to live civilly, okay? They already had their name from the king and who his immediate heirs was. You know, the king might have had 35 kids, okay? sometimes more than that. 15 or 20 wives. You know, a lot of black folks don't even believe in that. They don't even think, oh, is that the way that was? Yeah. You know, so we're descendants from kings and queens. So we have that thing already. You remember Root, Toby?
Yes.
Uncle Kinte. You know, keep trying to tell him, no, your name Toby now, boy. You over here now. Your name Toby. Okay, but he was Kuta Kente. And who was Kuta Kente? He was a king. He was the son of a king. Okay. So that's how we get that deal, and that's why we are so, you know, we don't really take the time and stuff to listen to what is really being said, because if I said something that offends you, I'm already turned off, so anything you got to say, I don't want to hear, you know. especially with the males. The females are not more, black females are not more that way. Black females are more or less listen and learners, okay? And then when you gonna come through that door, I'm already on the other side of that door, you know. But that's why it's so difficult for us to sit down and try to come to an agreement on what we need to do, you know, how we need to do it and stuff, you know. It has to go through our youth. It has to go through God. It has to go through God and faith, and it has to originate with our young people, because they are the ones that all of this stuff is happening now. They are the ones that are going to have to survive through it. So that's what we should be pointing our energy at, trying to reach them, you know, trying to get them prepared and stuff, because it don't look very good. It don't look very good for nobody, really. Okay.
Right.
That's why
these
rich people are thinking they're going to the moon. You know, they ride to the moon and stuff, you know.
Because they're trying to get off of this planet.
Yeah, you know, trying to leave us here. Do they know that maybe Russia is really going to start shooting at, atomic bombs and stuff everywhere? And China, is they going to really start nuking this? It's really crazy.
No telling.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got this from a listener. 10 black people who acquired wealth during slavery. The world is already here. The information is readily available. Paul Cuffey. I think we talked about that on Janet's show, Keeping History Alive, at 1759. Anthony Johnson, 1600. William Ellison Jr. was born 1790. Then there's a list, listverse.com. It says 10 blacks who acquired wealth during slavery. We'll have to look at that book as well. Antoine, don't ask me to say his name, Dublase, was born 1819, Louisiana, to free black men. His father was a planter who owned around 406 acres of land and 70 slaves. Robert Gordon was a former slave who brought this freedom in 18 brought his excuse me bought his freedom in 1846. He went into business as a coal dealer in 1847 after investing $15,000 in Cincinnati coal yards. Blacks be ballin'. And then we have, speaking of females, Amanda America Dixon was a biracial woman who became one of the wealthiest African-American women in the 19th century America. Although she was born into slavery in 1849, Amanda enjoyed a more privileged childhood than other black girls. We can't reach them if we send them to public schools. So we have to, it's almost like this person saying, we have to school them or have a Saturday school to teach them the real history. And then another listener who had texted me said, we own the world. Let's see, hold on. We own the world. We made the world, but we don't own it. Ancient history is black history. Satan uses our intelligence to further his agenda while each generation becomes less effective as rulers. So it's crazy that we have to, that things are going on like this. It's just sad. It's very, very sad. So I know that Reverend Ron has now joined us. Hold on. Reverend Ron, you want to say anything? We're talking about is right now, right later. So go ahead go ahead.
I just want to, Reverend, good evening, everybody. And how are you?
How you doing, Reverend?
All right. God bless you all. Just want to chime in on this. We need the unity that the slaves had when they had the Freeman Bank. There was a bank called the Freeman Bank, and the Pentagon sits where it used to be right now. And the slaves from all over America would send their wage from the slave bills to, with the togetherness around the world, to the Freeman's Bank, which was the slave's bank. And they build up $58 million during slavery from around the world, all the slaves. But I said to say this, if the slave had enough education and knowledge to unify with their belief in God and could raise $58 million out of field wages, but they had a togetherness of the mind all around the world, but then what's wrong with all of us now? If they had enough education in the slave fields with master with a whip, and they raised $58 million under the whip, had unity, faith in God, unity in belief in one another. They didn't all live in the same city. They didn't all work in the same slave master field. There was each field around the country. Now, they had enough education without schooling any of the agnostic schools or anything. Now we got the agnostic schools, we got the Western Hemisphere school, we got the Northern Hemisphere school, we got doctors, masters, DVD. That's out of it. And we can't raise $1 million together. It is modernistic time. Something wrong with that, ain't
it? Amen.
Something's wrong with that. And we can hold war in our communities, killing one another every single day, everywhere. We got unity to kill, but not unity to build. Everybody talking, I'm talking about on the main stage to the outhouse, but nobody can accomplish anything that's value to the people. There's one young gentleman stood up, became a CDFI bank, Mr. Arlo Washington I'm talking about, created the first black loan fund where he's allowing people of color to have access to credit, giving people loans, not according to their FICO score, their credit score, but their ability to pay back. And small businesses are reaping. Now, wait a minute. What if we had some more aloes around the world, aloes around the country in the USA? No. Everybody is so into this phase of have-nots, haves and have-not exclusion. You can't be over here because you ain't with this or you don't have this. Why wouldn't I let you come? If I have over enough, I should bid you to come so your condition to change, because I got well over enough for me and the others that's involved. Well, why not? I can't say, come on and get yourself together. Or let me help you create your ideal. No, we too busy worried about if somebody going to take our spot. They ain't got no spot for nobody to take. And if you got a spot, it ain't enough, because can't nobody benefit but you. So where your spot at? And what your spot means? It means absolutely nothing if everybody around you is starving. You got $50 million and you got people in your family starving, something is wrong with you. Ain't no such a thing as I'm on the top. You won't be on the top until you hear Jesus say, well done. Otherwise, you're just on the stage with everybody else. So we need the unity, and we need this education that the slaves had. Because this that we got now, it ain't working. It keep us in separatism, keep us divided. Don't want to love one another, don't want to look at each other and consider each other as a human being. What we got to hold to that was wrong, we got to hold to the people that were sold on the auction block who was prisoners of the war. We accepted the system that the buyers of these people put in place for these people because they said they was not human or invited guests. We paid for you like we pay for commodities. We took their unity, and now we're fighting against each other. Can't communicate. If there ever was a nation that can't communicate, that people of color don't like each other for whatever reason, and ain't nobody got nothing. That's terrible. How can you say nobody got nothing? You ain't got enough. You can't help nobody. Can't help nobody do nothing. Even the richest people we know. You say, hey, can you? No, I can't do nothing for you. I ain't got nothing. What?
Go ahead, preach.
No, it's time out for the foolishness with people of color. Have and have nots and all this kind of thing. You ought not let it be no have nots if you got it. And you got more than enough. Why are you going to sit up and say, I want to see them beneath me? Beneath me for what? If you're beneath me, you ain't got nothing. How can you help me if something do set off? I didn't mean to go there, y'all.
Hey, preacher, keep on, man. Keep on, preacher.
You know, on every set
for the
since Martin Luther King got killed, trying to fight for prevailing wages for the sanitation workers. Nobody called a halt to what he got killed for. They just been moaning his death. Man, if the dude could talk, he's gonna tell you what y'all crying for me for. You ought to be crying that what I was fighting for still be carried out. Prevailing wages everywhere, where a man or woman could go back to school if they wanted to further their knowledge and all this kind of thing. But they can't do it because they got to work three jobs. They can't even raise their families. Nobody picked up the torch. Everybody got on the stage with hell nots, who's who, self-centered, egotistical. It's all about me. It ain't all about you. It's all about everybody. You know what God justice means? God justice means when everybody he created have enough. That's God's justice. Injustice is to create creation of this system that's been put in place for people that other people paid for. That's all I want to say, y'all.
Keep on preaching, preacher. I mean, it needs to be said.
Yes. And the thing is, what's wrong?
You're absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. And what's wrong is everybody's looking at the torch, thinking, "Who's gonna pick it up?" Everybody pick it up. You know, everybody put their hand towards the torch and pick it up. Can you imagine how lit that torch would be? That torch would never, the light would never go out. But everybody's just too afraid to pick it up and run with it. That's the main thing. They're just too afraid. But I did have a listener who said we need to look at the robreport.com, and it's dated June 18, 2021. Black Wall Street is alive and thriving, and America needs it more now more than ever. And it talks about 100 years after the Tulsa race, a massacre, a new spirit of entrepreneurship is surging among Black Americans, which, you know, and we talk about it, and a few people was, what's his name, Hill Harper, I think, was talking about it. We just need to come together. It doesn't matter where it is. Just come together, and we can have a unification like the Rockies going down from the north to the south. We can go from east to west and have a Black Wall Street Wall highway, shoot. We can just imagine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that would be like?
Right.
We have a
right
highway,
right,
freeway.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
But no, we're too. Yeah, we could just take it from the west coast to the east coast. And can you imagine how many people would eat? How many people would thrive? How many people would survive? And it's like, okay, can you imagine what could be learned? Can you imagine what could be taught? Can you just imagine, as what's her name, Tamla Mann says, I can only imagine. Can you imagine what it would be like if we would just, you know, take ourselves out of everything and just come together? And, you know, like you say, instead of crying for Dr. Martin Luther King, we should listen to what he was talking about and take that torch and, you know, illuminate it. That's what needs to be done. But this Rob reported, you know, I put it in the link, but it's interesting. It's the Rob, it says Rob Report, robbreport.com/lifestyle/news, Black Wall Street. And you guys can, you know, go on from that and read it from there. But that, you know, we have a Black Wall Street. We just afraid to walk the streets, basically. But this is, looking at this, Pine Bluff's new library. They have a new library, right, Reverend Ron?
Pine Bluff New Library.
Pine Bluff. That is beautiful.
Pine Bluff.
Pine Bluff. Mm-hmm.
Pine Bluff is the little city that's 45 minutes from Little Rock.
Okay.
And all of the wealth, a lot of the wealth has been extracted out of Pine Bluff.
Okay.
What am I saying? Mm-hmm. They build up in Whitehall and they extracted everything out of Pine Bluff, so the people in Pine Bluff really have to leave Pine Bluff to get their necessities, what they really want. Now look at the game, but hey, they took things out, so let them and the things they took go, but some stuff was left there. So why don't the people there, they got a nice community of about 100,000 people. Why don't they take and build up and use what's left?
Right.
When people and magistrates, when they abandon cities like that, then the people left in the city, tell them bye, and then turn around and build the city back up to their liking.
Right.
They don't have to follow the game. They don't have to go to over there because they take all the everything over there. Go on over there because the money we got to spend over there, we can spend it right here. We can take these same buildings that you left here, and we can put our craftsmen in it. They can start teaching craft, teaching the young men and young women how to do this. You ain't got to follow when people take stuff from you and run away with it. You ain't got to follow them. You can just build from what they left.
Make your own school. Shoot, you got your own banks and everything else. Why can't you have your own school? Why not?
You got teachers galore. You got retired teachers. You got nurses. You got doctors. We got everything keep coming out of school, but where do they go?
No telling.
I'm asking a question to the whole United States of America. African American people got good people going in school everywhere to the best of the schools, but where do they go? Do they go back and put a business, a clinic in the community? They don't think that there's no money there, but the same people that you pass up going over there, guess what? Over there where you're going, they pay your salary from where you're from because they got insurance, some of them. Why not go back to their community? Why not go back to that community and start a clinic right there? What's wrong with that? The same people that go across town, that's African-American people of color, those people with the insurance that pay over across town, they can pay your clinic too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
But everybody gets scared. They took a dollar store. They took a chicken place away. But the building's still there. You cook the chicken. You cook chicken better than they do anyway.
I love it. And that's just it. We're so afraid to go to the bank that Arlo has, get the money to recreate that chicken and waffle, chicken and more, chicken and whatever, that place, that old Taco Bell. Because it's like, oh, you know, since nobody came to it when it was a Taco Bell, nobody's going to come to it when it's a chicken place. You don't know what you can do until you create it. And if you fail, then go a different direction. But at least you tried. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Look at this right here. Hey, Inez, look at this right here. If it's a chicken place on the corner of my house, right? I'm not going to drive no 15 miles away to get no box of chicken, and it's right up there across the street from my house. I'm going to go right across the street because it ain't no more chicken places. They took all the chicken places out. Put the chicken place back. You got your aunt Susie, your cousin May and Willie and all of them. Put them back in the kitchen where they like to be and let them cook the chicken, same chicken that you cook over there, cooking right there.
Chicken.
We don't need to go across town.
Everything.
You know, that reminds me, guys, this past weekend I was telling Inez, my grandson had a football game in Boise. And we went up on Friday, and so for dinner after the game, which the game was like these big hailstorms just closed the game out anyway. It did pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But we stopped by this barbecue place that was close to our hotel. And we decided that we're going to go back and eat dinner. Okay, Saturday night, we're going to go by there and enjoy dinner. And guess who runs the barbecue place? They look like Area Nation people, really, because the guys had their hair cut real short, nose earring in the ear. The whole staff is wearing black. The menu was in black, you know. And I was telling my wife, this is really peculiar, but we came here to get barbecue and stuff. You know, they tried to order barbecue and chicken and vegan, you know, stuff, you know. We sit there and we ordered and we did that, and I was just saying. And then I kind of find out from one of the guys that I knew, one of the coaches that I knew that and stuff, said, well, what about that place there and stuff? He's, oh, man, if you want to get some soul food, you're going to need to go to the other side of town. So they people, they're in the game and stuff. They're trying to you know, do what we originally do very good, you know, and then try to turn it into some kind of hors d'oeuvre thing. You know, how you hors d'oeuvre and barbecue, potato salad, you just throw down on that, you know? But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Our topic for the day is right now, right later. And right now, we need to just come together. So if y'all out there and you want to join the call, it's 845-241-9985 as we continue our conversation. We have on the line, we have Sergeant Parks, we have Reverend Ron, and we have Reverend Carolyn, and we have my ride and die, Rhonda, and then we have Mr. Chris Ward, who is in our chat room. And so we just appreciate everybody who's listening, tuned in, and has joined in, and it's good conversation. And nothing's too radical, nothing's too crazy. We're just having a conversation where we all can agree to disagree, because we're talking about what needs to be done right now for later, for right later. Because, you know, we talk about it, but we got to do something. We got to be about it. We can't just talk about it, because talk is cheap. We need to come together and go to Mr. Arlo and say, hey, Mr. Arlo, can I get this loan for a chicken place down the street, because I got some people who need to work and they can cook, and see what you can do. In Yakima, you know, you got the place in Yakima that's, you know, torn down or looking raggedy. Maybe they can, you know, get a loan or what have you and build it up. But it's crazy. Like me, I'm trying to do my due over here in wherever I live, in Tampa, you know, trying to keep my head above water, because they have all these shops that have gone out of business. Well, you know, I'm going to do mine from home. So we need to just come together and support one another. That's one thing we don't do. We will support Gucci. We will support Michael Kors. We will support Donna Karen. But we won't support our own locals. Why? Are we afraid everything's going to fall apart? Well, if it falls apart, say, hey, you know, this could be made better, you know, but you won't build somebody up so that they can do better. Because you will talk about it behind it. Oh, that stuff ain't no good. It's going to fall apart as soon as you put it on. Well, you know,
and then
we'll
want,
talk about it. But
then we want to get a discount. Okay.
Or free.
Get a discount.
What can I get free?
There. Can you get? Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. After you come in here and buy something 10 times, yeah, you can get some free advice. But no, I'm just messing. Sorry.
We shouldn't have in our minds that we want people of color to give us free when we go to Dillard's and pay their full price. Or when we go over there at Dippin' Lou's and we pay the full price
Louis
for the mechanics to change our oil. So why do we for our people to give us, and they got to pay they got to buy their product, they got to buy they stock, they got to buy pay for everything, and that stuff costs a lot of money. So we should be really, really like the preacher said, heretically ready to invest in what they are doing because they're doing something for the community. If I give it to Jiffy Lou's over there in Peel Hill, I'll give it to somebody in the community too if you can do the job.
That's right.
Right. Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And to keep supporting them, their family's got to eat. Shoot. Their family's got to, you know, survive. But no, we ready to go to Louis Vuitton. We ready to go to somebody who's got money and give them more money so they can have money. Well, I'm over here. I need money. Reverend Ron needs money. Miss Carolyn needs money. Mr. Parks needs money. Why can't I get some of that money? I mean, Louis Vuitton and whoever else, all these people, they got money. Why are you going to give them more? Let them.
And they give nothing back.
And absolutely.
Hello, that part.
They're building spacecraft to go to the outer edges of the atmosphere, okay? And then come back like they done conquered something. Throwing money
away. Is that
away.
Right
billions
now?
Dollars,
right later?
Billions of dollars and stuff. That's another thing that we need to be concentrating on, too. Where we spend our money. We're spending our money in places, and that goes for me and my wife, too. If we're spending our money in places and stuff that don't respect us, don't have nobody look like us working in the place and stuff, then we need to centralize that. You know, we need to be thinking about, well, where we're going to get the best bang for the buck is definitely not spending all this money and stuff to get people to want a president and stuff that lies, steals, cheats, womanizes. This man is going straight to hell. I have no doubt in my mind. The minute he dies, he's not going to even be judged. Excuse me, Reverend. He ain't going to be judged and stuff. He's just going to evaporate in the thin air and then go to sleep. and he knows it. He don't care. He's just greedy, just like a lot of them. They're so greedy and stuff, they forget about, you know, what would really make America great at this time is that we put some of those resources to making people as whole as we can get them. And not just black folk, everybody. You know, if you want to work, you get a job. Or if you don't want to work, ain't nobody going to make you work. So that's a dead point, you know. But how come we can't be? How come the living wage and stuff can't be $25, $35? You got people, these millionaires and stuff, don't want to give people $15. You know?
They don't
want to
give them anything.
Like people can live off $15. Who can live off $15 an hour? You know?
Mm-mm.
I mean,
Mm-mm.
push come to shove, you can, but it's not going to be really living. As fast as everything's going and everything is sky high and we have no answer to it.
And well, we might have an answer. One of the listeners was saying, what's wrong with us now? Some of us went to college and universities and lost our minds. We think, eat, and worship like the people that enslaved us. That's what's wrong.
Well,
that comment
I know some pretty good people, you know, that went to college and they're still out here on the, they're still trooping.
Correct.
With me. You know, they're out on the ground,
but
still trooping and
right.
stuff, you know. But, you know, and I mean, the statement is categorically true, you know.
Correct.
Because some
I mean,
of them,
yes,
they don't want to come down here. You know, we got teachers
mm-hmm.
and stuff that ain't never been to the ghetto. You know, say, well, where's that place? Oh, I heard that place right there. Oh, no, I'm not. I won't go to that place. You know, actually, go, just go down and talk to the kids in the after-school program. They look just like us.
No.
You know? Go down and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. You know, I'm not going to do the driving Mercedes-Benz. Oh, no, no. They might break into my car, you know.
Well, what
saying,
if
oh,
they do?
God.
Get another one.
It's just obscene, you know, the way we interact with each other and stuff with a lack of empathy, and not all of us. That's why I make these calls in to hook up with people
mm-hmm.
and stuff that are caring and stuff. You know, some callers
right,
stuff, they
right.
do have their thing, but I'm agreeing to disagree. You know, I don't care what
mm-hmm.
opinion you have and stuff. Let's talk about it and let's see what we
mm-hmm.
can get out of it and stuff and how we can make a difference in what's going on. You know, I ain't got
right,
much time
right,
left.
Right.
I don't have much time left.
Mm.
So my whole thing and stuff there until I take my last roughness and try and make sure I did everything I could to
right.
guide some young people
to help.
And stuff and the understanding that
uh-huh.
how powerful you are, you know, what you can
yeah,
do.
Right.
You
yeah,
have, there's,
yeah.
nothing, there's nothing you can't do. You know, you can do anything. Don't let people tell you you can't do anything,
you
but
can't,
you cannot violate, you
get
can't
on,
violate the laws. You can't violate the laws and then come back and then try to recover because most black men don't recover from that. Some do, but most black men
uh-huh.
don't. You know,
and that's sad.
You got
this, and that's really
gotta
sad.
You got to learn what's going on, how to apply it and stuff, you know, how to know how to do things and stuff, how to say yourself, you know.
Right on. That's on.
You know, can I say this
yourself?
Can I say this right here? Sergeant Park, that's a beautiful, beautiful way of putting things. Could I say this right here? Why is it?
Mm-hmm.
That everybody thinks that the small people they call are not important. Now, wait a minute. It's the small population of the country
mm-hmm.
that keeps the country
mm-hmm.
rolling. Now,
that's right.
They talk about the ghetto. They talk about project people. They talk about
mm-hmm.
people of color who live in housing and so on and that stuff. But do you know, if it wasn't no group of people like that, Walmart wouldn't be as big as it is.
That's
right.
Do
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if it's not for the population or the project people or the ghetto people? Do you know all these Arabs wouldn't come over here on a horse and 2 years they're driving a Rolls Royce? You know why? It's because them project people. Now, the people that people of color call insignificant or either unvalued people, but these are the people
mm-hmm.
that have made the extinct.
That's right.
It's your project people who made Jordan so popular. It's the ghetto people. It's the people that live in the hood that spend big money on Jordan.
Don't even talk about hip hop. That's where that came from. And look at this, it's worth trillions of dollars. Hip hop, you know. Some of it's insane and stuff, but that's the ghettos. That was the ghetto dude. They couldn't go to the Sony and the rest of these places to get them signed, so they started doing stuff on their own. You know, they started selling out of the trunk of their cars, making their own CDs and stuff.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But it's the people.
Exactly right.
It's the people that the big time people say ain't nobody. It's the same people that have made them big time.
That's right.
Right.
It's the small people. This is the crazy thing about America and the scholars and the aristocrats. They think that the small people ain't nobody. But let all the small people pull their money away from them. Watch what happens. Look at it. If the churches, right now in America, right, in 1982, the Census Bureau said it was 322,000 congregations in America, right? And with these 322,000 congregations in America, they turn in almost $900 billion a year to the system who gives them nothing, and they take the money. They exempt money from the tithes and the offerings. They take it and they use it for carnies.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Something is wrong. Now, here it is, tax-free money, and the leaders of the church around the country, they agree to allow their money to leave the congregation, the tithes and offerings, and go to a secular system. The church can't even borrow. They can't even borrow money to the system that they give so much to. Now, but look at the parishioners. That trillion, that almost $1 trillion, think if it was put back into the church with the parishioners who makes the money.
See, and that's just it. Those are the places that need to build housing for these folks. They need to do housing. And, all that type of stuff. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Catholic
Family Church here in Yakima is worth $2 billion. $2 billion, that church is, man. They got a football.
It shouldn't be a poor person in there.
You know, they got football stadium, three schools and stuff. You know,
what?
They got a program where they giving kids and stuff rent. They're paying the rent for kids in the house and giving the kids a stipend if the kids can sign on to a job. 99% of those kids are white. Maybe 1% is Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just how much money just be rolling through there. So you have to
wait a minute,
right, preacher.
Wait a minute, Sergeant Park. Look at this right here. Now, the people in that church that's worth billions of dollars, right? Well, they got the people that go to school, come back to the church, and write grants for the church. They got people that go to school, come back to the church, and be lawyers for the church. They got people that go to school, come back and do this for the church and do this for the community because they are part of the church and they pastor work with the community. But look at us. What happened to our people, people of color? What happened to the money? Everybody wants to go build a big old house for themselves and leave it for their kids, and the kids tell them when they die, go to hell with the house. It's a ghost. It's a ghost in there. won't even stay in it. It's a ghost.
We
talked about that. Reverend Ron and I talked about that. We sure did.
Okay, because if you're brown, stick around. If you're white, you're all right. And if you're black, you know that.
Oh, wow. That's wrong. That's so wrong.
Wait a minute. You know, and I know y'all hear it as much as I hear it. I know Sergeant Park, you hear it all the time. And we do sacramentalize people that do good things. They are to be encouraged. But look at it. Every time I go somewhere and I'm on a podium with people, but then they talk about the accolades of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people and what they have done in school. But I never hear anybody say they come back and do this for the community. Sergeant Parker, I'm with you. It's a few amount there that is. But the big majority, they ain't doing nothing because their community is going to hell where their mama live, where grandma them live, and they don't even care.
Right.
Amen.
They don't even care.
They only thing they want
grandma and granddaddy live.
Good. Want to get out of town as soon as they can. You know, don't even hear from them. Don't see them no more. You know. You know, I'm out of there. You know, you see them somewhere else. You at the airport and you see them. So, wow, man, what you doing? Oh, I'm a professor at the Maryland College of Law.
I'm a professor.
We seen you, man, in 20 years. What's going on? You know? I'm probably gonna get by to see my mama. Okay.
Probably gonna get by. Get by to see her.
You know.
Wow. Probably.
You're right, Reverend. You're right. I've seen it.
The question is, how do we build from the extraction of the wealth that's been taken from us? You know how we do it? You know how we do it, y'all?
We got to invest.
How?
We got to invest. Investment.
We got to do it. We got to do it.
We got to build
from where it's been torn down. We got to build from right there. We got to take the wall and build it properly with all that's behind the wall. Everybody that the wealth has been extracted from, they should have a mind to work. You know why? You know why? Because they took the stores that they need. So what are you going to do? You're going to cry about them taking the stores? You're going to drive across town and you know that you've got profiling going on and all this? Why not just put the store back in one of the buildings that's left standing?
That's right.
They ain't going to stop with me. They ain't got much of a choice. They ain't got much of a choice if they got to go 15, 20 minutes away.
But that, a lot of times that's easier said than done, because like we were saying earlier, people are afraid to venture out and do things.
You know,
afraid of what?
Succeeding, some of them. Are afraid of failing, one of the two. Either succeeding or failing. It's either or. Either that side or that side.
People don't make a difference. They don't feel that they can make a difference, that what they're... They're just, you know, some other little insignificant thing. You know, people have to be made to know that they got confidence and that they can do something and stuff, you know. And we don't do that. We're scared to be with just be the sermon that the Reverend preached. We're scared to talk to another black person and stuff like that, because the reaction is going to be, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do that. You know, it's negative from the beginning. You know, it's negative.
But when Nail Man was building the wall, Sergeant Parks, and listeners, when Nail Man was building the wall, Sam Ballard and Tobias came to Nail Man, and they told him, they said, "Man, what you doing this for? This ain't nothing, man. Look at this rubbish. Man, it done burned, and it's just rubbish everywhere. Why are you building the wall? Come down, man. Come down." You know what Nehemiah told him? He said, "Send that and tell Bass. The people got a mind to work. And we're gonna build this wall regardless of what you say." So they got the henchmen, they started jab. So Nehemiah met him one day and told him, he said, "Listen, Send Bad and Tobias." He said, "Listen at this. I'm here with the gospel in this hand right here. And I got a pistol over here. Which one do you want? Because I'm not coming down off the wall."
So you better
step out smartly.
And the people was with him because they wanted to see the wall rebuilt, because it was going to make convenience for them that the wall be built. They could restructure and reconstruct the place again.
Mm-hmm.
They can restruct Jerusalem again.
Yeah.
The people had a mind to work. And the leader of the people told them, "Say, we got to do it right now, and then we can write about it later."
Yeah. Right now.
Ain't no time like now. There's no time like now. You know,
that's right.
You think about it, when right now it's gone, then it's gone. So right now.
So let, so take the wealth. Take what you think. Take what you think is the wealth and go with it. If you want to take it and go with it. But what you leave, I'm letting you know, I'm gonna build it back because what you taking, we still need it right here. We still need what what's been taken. We still need it. We gonna go across town and get it. But why should we leave here in our community? Go over there where you done put billions and millions of dollars and pay for your development.
That's right.
Yeah, Sugar Hill is beautiful. Yeah, Sugar Hill is beautiful. You know why? Because over here in the ghetto, the money, the ghetto people pay for Sugar Hill to be beautiful.
That's
but
right.
Sugar Hill don't put nothing from the ghetto. Matter of fact, it took out of it so it could look run down and throw up. But the people don't have to fall for that. The people don't have to fall for that. When they take it and look run down, get you some paint and paint it and put some windows back in it and then get in there and do some business.
Right.
You gave me one heck of an idea, Reverend. You gave me one heck of an idea because exactly what you're talking about is exactly what's happening here in this town. You know, the city is taking all their resources and stuff, and they're moving their resources west where all the rich people live. They don't build streets.
Well, let them go and do it. Let them go and do it. Let them go and do it. Let them go and do it, man. Tell them goodbye. Tell the people, say, wave them back.
That's right.
You know why?
Bye, Felicia.
You know why? You know why, Sergeant Parks?
Hey,
the money is the money is still there. They got to take their money across town now. They don't have to do it. They could rebuild right there where they are. Tell the people when they run off, say goodbye. Enjoy your flight.
Oh my God! Hey, thank you, Reverend. You put it together.
His mind is now. His mind is working.
It's, that's right.
If people
it's
have
right
a mind
now
to work, you just...
So talking to the city council is just useless. You need to be talking to people that got businesses in the community and people living in the community and stuff. Okay, then we need to take care of this. Okay? Because if we formulate it right and we get some things, we don't have places for kids to go after school. You know, they done wiped out a pool, wiping out the parks and stuff, build a big, beautiful park, build an aquatic center to the west. You know, when we went to them, you know, we said, okay, well, what about the kids and stuff in this district? You know, they had to go 10 miles and stuff to the aquatic center. You know what they say? Oh, well, we'll give them free passes and stuff to ride the city buses to the center, to the aquatic center.
That's ridiculous.
They're getting money when the kids go over there, that's what they told us.
You know, they said nothing about letting the kids. This place, the city put in $9 million, the YMCA put in $20 million to build this big beautiful aquatic center. Got two levels of it. Okay, you go to the second level, you can see all over the city and shit, you know. And it's surrounded a big, beautiful park with all kind of all of the fast food places and stuff around, and build hotels and stuff out there. So people coming in town, guess what? They don't even have to come through town. They can go around the town two different ways, south and north, to get there. And they don't have to drive through the ghetto. Okay.
That's well,
look at this. But wait a minute, Sergeant Parks, did you check this out? The ghetto children, they want to give them passes to come over there. You know why? Because when they take their pictures, when they take their pictures and stuff with them, with the children there in the place, guess what? They can write a grant, and the federal government is going to give them funding to keep that building rolling. Why? Because they got the ghetto kids over there that they taking pictures. Well, why can't nobody put? Why can't all these scholars? I'm going back to this again. Why come all these scholars? All these people coming out of these different schools and stuff. Why they can't go over there in the ghetto and do this? Write a grant and do the same thing. Everybody's smart. Everybody's been introduced as Dr. So-and-so, Professor this. Why is it that none of those people out of their community, what you're talking about, Sergeant Potts, why are none of those educated people putting a grant together to make it happen right there like it did over there in Sugar Hill?
That's right.
Why?
Because they're not using their mind that way.
Well, I'm going to let y'all know more about this project here, because now I just, I instead of trying to break their bones and break their back behind making them do something they should be doing, I'm going to start getting the community involved. Okay.
Now,
there's a couple of stores, board up stores over there that they could use. Get those business owners and stuff over there and see if you want to invest. Do you want to invest in this? You know, it's crazy.
Mr. Parks has got a spark.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good fight. Now, I like a good fight. I like a good fight. Thank
and
you,
I'm sure you're going to win.
Oh, well, hey.
Watch and see, don't they snap into a reality?
That's good. That's real good.
Tell them about it, man. Say, man, I don't want to talk no more. Let's build something and then come back to the table and talk about what we build. I don't want to have meeting after meeting after meeting and nothing happens. Let's do something, then you have a meeting. Don't have a meeting until we do something. When we do something, have the meeting then so we can talk about what we've done. And then let's do something else. Let's do till we set the city up that sit up on the hill that cannot be hid.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right.
If you ain't playing like that, you ain't no player.
Okay. Think bigger. Either think bigger, we call it think bigger, go home.
That's right. You got to stay on top of it. Stay on
this
top of
good,
it.
If you ain't gonna get down, get off the stage. You know?
What'd you say?
If you ain't gonna get down, get off the stage. And that's somebody get up there that's gonna do it.
We call it the
pot. Get up to get down.
And get off the pot. Yeah.
You
ain't
gonna
boo-boo, you gotta get out
the
fight.
That's crazy. No, this has been a good, very good. And, you know, getting people riled up and getting them, you know, thinking about, okay, I got other things I could do. And just with a little spark, a little fire, a little kindling, look what Mr. Parks is doing now. You can't stop him.
Take everything you build and turn it into something. You know? Sergeant Parks.
That's right.
Sergeant Parks.
I'm here.
I prophesy that to you, brother. Take every vacant building and turn it into something.
Hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's my mission. That is my mission.
Everything that you want them to have. Turn it into it with what you got. Work with what you got. Handle what you got in your hand to work with. If you want a boys club, find a building that'll make a boys club and turn it into a boys and girls club. If you want to see stores on the corner, you want chicken huts, you ain't even got to call the chain. Make the chicken huts with what you got out of the community and start a chain.
Absolutely.
Come on now. Come on.
Absolutely.
That's good. That's good.
Have the community fried chicken.
Yeah. You want to go to Yakima, Reverend Ron, and help
I cook
for the party?
Man, I come there in a minute, man. I come there in a minute, man.
And cut the ribbon?
Give me a three-night conference. I'll bring some heavy hitters in there, man.
When I get this together and stuff, you got an invitation. You two out there, both of you guys, got an invitation. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Give me three night conference. I'll bring the guy in there, man, to set up the city up out here. That's got the low dollar loan going. Man, they got a program going, man, where a person can apply without good credit, but just the ability to pay back, they can get up to a $50,000 loan. Let's bring those financial institutions to Yakima
together
to the community to the communities that do not have access to capital. Let's put a financial institution in there and build what build a city. You can do it.
There you go.
I like that.
There you go.
I'm tending to think that the city is trying to desert that and move the city seat west so they can make
them
all
go.
Of the
property. Let them go. Let them go. Bid them farewell. Say bye, y'all.
Yep. Good night.
Have a good
let them go. Let them go. Let them go, Sergeant Park. If people want to walk away from a whole city and leave buildings with foundations and good structures, say bye, y'all.
Yeah.
Tell them goodbye in the name of Jesus. Bye.
They have not seen the light of day yet, but they will be. They will be in the light of
this
day.
This is good.
Yeah.
I've been telling people,
you
watch up. No. Don't fight them. Don't be mad because they left. No. Tell them goodbye. And let them take all of their spirits with them.
Their bad spirits?
Yeah. Take them all with you.
Yeah.
You ain't got to hate no more. You ain't got to hate no more. You ain't got to be prejudiced no more than nobody. You ain't got to bother nobody because they black. Go on over there with your people. We're going to use what we got right here. We're going to take the money that you think we're going to bring to you. We're going to put it right here, and we're going to circulate it right here. We're going to give jobs to our people right here. Somebody said, well, that's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. It's not hard to do, just like it's not hard to do over another place. It ain't hard to do over here because the money that you would take over there, put it here where it can pay you and the generations to come. Let it be a perpetual wealth right in your community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Good. Got to just have the right people in place to run the businesses. That's all.
And basically, we just need the foot traffic from these two districts and stuff to start diverting the foot traffic so that the money gets circulated and stuff on us. And then that way we can build, you know.
Right.
So we need to be able to harness that money, where that money is being spent, where that money is being going, you know. And I think
that's why you need a financial institution.
I think I know where that is.
And if not, you got Reverend Ron right there who can help you think about it. That's nice. That's real nice. Thank you. That's real nice. Real good conversation.
Thank you,
Will.
Yep.
Hey, man, look here. I'm open, brother. I'm open, man. I'm open. And I'm telling you, I want to see a financial institution in every people of color community so that they can rebuild their community themselves without anybody holding their hand, without anybody doing the counting of the production that they want to do or the development wants to do. We want to use their creativity to do what they want to do in their community, not copying off Sugar Hill, not bothered about Sugar Hill. Sugar Hill, what we're going to do, we're going to do what we do, you do what you do, and let's see who grows the biggest. And then when we grow big, guess what? We'll be willing to compete with you, our product with your product.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
And people live safe and decent, you know, live in some place and stuff where the police got 200 police officers and they can't control the game, and they can't control a lot of the stuff that's going on. You know, people scared to even.
You know why they? You know why they can't control them, Sergeant Park? You know why they can't control them? Because they don't have nothing to offer them. Everybody is trying to play the Acapone survival game because they don't have no opportunities.
Well, they get paid to it. If they get rid of the problem, then that's money and stuff that they're gonna have to try and justify doing something else with. You know, I already know that game, what they're playing and stuff. You know, they run the games from one community to another community, you know, and they're getting $500,000-$600,000 a year or stuff on that. And then saying, oh, we got a gang, we got a gang problem, which they do. They got a gang problem because we got two or three murders every year like clockwork. I believe sometime I'd be thinking, damn, did the police actually set this murder up? You know, it was just so like the mafia. You know, the mafia and stuff, you know, you go in there, boom, get out.
Mm-hmm.
No, ain't nothing that clean. It's like having surgery. Surgical deal, you know.
Wow.
The police chief, I know him well, you know. He got all of these different little things going on and stuff, you know, got different people, different places, different companies and different places and stuff, okay, that coming into the community and doing this work. Okay. Do you know that a property owner, most cities and stuff, property owners, if there is some graffiti on my property, there's an ordinance for that. You know what the city done? They have hired people to ride through the communities and clean up graffiti. They don't even give the homeowners no notice and stuff. You got 10 days to clean up this junk. You know? It's the damnest thing I ever seen. I'm saying, you got an ordinance. How come you don't work the ordinance and stuff? And then, you know what they're telling me? Oh, well, right now we don't have the staff to be able to do that. You know, there's always some kind of excuse. But I always,
but if people need jobs
there.
But if people need jobs there, though.
Yeah, people
need
people.
But that's not the people's problem.
So, you know?
Mm.
But, well, the problem is, in most communities here, you have absentee landlords, okay? And the city don't, they won't, because the landlords are powerful. You know, they own 5, 6, 7, 10 different properties and stuff in the same district, of course. And then the city, they know everybody in the city council. So the police don't dare go in and cite them for a nuisance ordinance. It's simple. A nuisance ordinance. If you got a broke down car parked on the city street and it's been there for 10 days and stuff, you got to move it or somebody, or you're going to lose it. But the city won't even send a tow truck over, pick it up, and then charge them for it. I said, why? You know, but it don't happen west. If that same situation would happen west, some police officers would be fired. Some city council people wouldn't get reelected. That's for sure. You know, and it does not happen west Yakima. Period.
Well, they use disparity. They use disparity. They use poverty. And they use the penal system. If they can get disparity going where people look around and feel valueless and limited and all, like, if they can keep that rolling, well, that environment and people's visibility of the environment, when it's all broken down and boarded up and nobody's don't use these buildings and things, that creates disparity in the mental mindset. And then when you have people are not being viable, working and jobs and opportunity, trade schools and all this kind of stuff is not available for people. Well, poverty set in, because if they're not making a prevailing wage where they can take care of their families and all that stuff, then crime is going to build up, because they're going to try to start hustling, selling dope and all this kind of stuff. And what happens? The system that's in place is designed to cage people. So people would be powerless, and the communities would do nothing but birth generations and generations to go to the cave, because they have not, and they will not, enlighten the people of the truth.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, community, work together, raise your kids, tell them what's right, tell them the truth, get them out of the trend, tell the young people, no, you can't do that. This trend is death. Only. No prosperity, no success, death only.
Absolutely.
And if you get something, if you get something in this way of life, then whatever you got, you can just look, it's going to be taken away from you. Because if you get it through the wrong way, guess what's happening? The people that put the wrong way together is waiting on you to cage you. Well, if the better, if
and
the
that's
better
what one person was saying before.
Yeah.
Satan uses our intelligence to further his agenda while each generation becomes less effective as rulers. So he's, you know, they just, as you say, the penal system, they just, as you say, imprisonate our mind. I just had to use your word against you, Reverend Ron. Imprisonate. That's what they do. We just get imprisoned. You know, we just seem to can't seem to get out from under that. You know, because it's just sad. We just need that key to open up our minds, to use our minds, because we are a people, you know, to be reckoned with. We just have to have the right leaders in place to guide us to that right, you know, to the right way, the right, you know.
Wake up the sleeping guy.
Exactly.
Everybody has a piece of the puzzle and stuff, you know. So we just sit and listen to each other and stuff, formulate a plan, and then execute the plan. You know.
Execute the plan. Make sure when you go to the meeting table, Sergeant Bob, let everybody know I'm not coming to the meeting to plan the next meeting, but I'm coming to the meeting so we can move forward and accomplish something. Then we'll plan the next meeting. But let's accomplish something from the first meeting so we'll have something to put on the table. Okay, we started this project over here. Let's finish this project, then let's go to the next project. Let's put people to work in the first project. Let's make the first project spin the wheel so it can bring in revenue. Then let's go to the other one. But we're building projects. We're putting people to work. We're teaching something. We're giving something back to the community. And the community has something that they can purchase from themselves.
There you go.
And see the worth of the community.
And we can do it if we support each other. If we support each other. So we don't worry about nobody else. We can support each other.
We can support. Here you go. Sergeant Park, you just said it. You just said it right there, man. You just said the key old fact. They took the wealth from us, but they didn't take all the wealth.
Right.
Because all the wealth was left here. They left all the wealth here so the wealth could come where they took the other wealth. But let them have that. And let's keep the majority of the wealth with us. We got the majority of the people. Wow. We got the majority of the wealth.
That's good. That's a good place
These people are these people are really egotistical because the the ACLU has sued them five times and done won five times. Okay, so we spent $8 billion in the last 12, 15 years. Taxpayers have spent $8 million at ACLU 15 years behind the city acting stupid. You know, acting crazy. We're acting like we own this and we can do anything we want to do. You know. So that's the problem right there. And you know what they what they're doing, you know. Like the law about they're not supposed to have no meetings and stuff before they have the city council meeting and stuff. Man, I go out of town, I be seeing them everywhere. And I go up to them and say, oh, what's this meeting all about? I got my phone out like I'm recording, right? they don't mess with me. They do not mess with me.
I don't think they would.
But you see, the thing about it, too, is that they plan, everything that's going on now is planned 15 years ago. Everything they plan, they started planning 15 years ago. Okay? You be aware when something comes up and stuff, and it's already been approved, and then they're taking $3 million out of the general budget and stuff to do A, B, C, and D, and then what? You know?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah,
why,
yeah.
You know?
Don't put them back in office.
Well, you, I wish I could have time to tell you about what's going on with the system here. You know, they got, there are seven districts. Four of the districts and stuff are all white districts. This is where the wealthiest people live in those four districts. Okay, they're not going to elect nobody that don't look like them. They just created.
Well, then the people that don't look like them shouldn't vote for them.
Well, everybody, the only thing they need is the people in their district to vote for them. Okay, this is not no at-large type of thing. You can only vote for the representative in your that's in your district, you know. And they created three Hispanic, just this January, they created three Hispanic districts, okay, because the majority of the people living in District 1, 2, and 3 are Hispanic. Okay, population is about 250,000, about 220,000. In the city, in the city limits and stuff is 80,000. So those two districts that I was talking to you about, 80,000, District 1, District 2, you know. So they schemed on this thing, you know, well. And then the money is behind that. People that own the fruit companies and the packing joints, you know, their money is all behind that, because you got some of the best wine distilleries and stuff around here, man. Got great hops. I mean, it's just like those people that own that, they have a say in what's taking place. And where do they live? They live in the West. You know,
not in the area that we look like.
No, you can't. You better not be caught out there in scenic drive. It's a big old scenic drive in the highest elevation in the town, in the city, right? It's the highest elevation. They can overlook everything in the city. They call it scenic drive. You know.
Where is that? That's south of
Piala.
Is that
south of Piala?
Yeah, it's
that's in Yakima,
Valley. It's in the Yakima Valley. You know, like you come through the summit, you have to come to Snohomie Pass to come. Well, there's two ways you can get to. One, if you come to White Pass, coming from I-5, it will be east and west. And then if you come through from Seattle, like, then you're coming east. You'll be coming east.
I travel to Yakima off the 5.
Off of I-5?
Yeah, I traveled when I was there on tour. I traveled from say like one night I had to minister in Spokane, but I had to be Seattle that Sunday morning and Yakima that Sunday night. So I went off the I-5 and I think I went around. You know that bridge that collapsed?
Yeah.
I was parking for Puyallup, so I came around Mount Rainier. I think it was Mount Rainier. Came around and ran across that bridge. Yeah. I know where Yakima is. I ministered out there.
Well, you probably went out 405 and stuff, and then hit 90 and stuff.
Yeah, right on.
Near to go across Snohomie Pass. Now 5, you can get on White Pass and hit 12. You know, and that's down by Mount St. Helens. You pass Mount St. Helens stuff. You know. Been in that way, so it's two ways you can get there. And Lord, hope it don't be snowing.
I've been out there when it was snowing, man.
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you got a good four wheel vehicle, you can do it. But sometimes it just they'll close it up last minute notice and you'll be pulled over the side of the road, man. That happened to me one time and stuff, but about 6 hours, you know, and I just filled up before we went, filled up in Bend, and then got there, oh my God, everything was closed, you know. But yeah. But it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice this time of
the
year.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there. I've been out there this time of the year. Seattle's beautiful. Eugene, Oregon is beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole Northwest is beautiful.
We travel all over and stuff, you know. Next weekend we'll be in Portland. My grandson got a football game in Portland. Was in Boise the past weekend. You know, that's the end of their travel and stuff this season until great kids go. And they'll be in Seattle area, Spokane, and different places and stuff like that.
Well,
I'm gonna go where my grandson has to play. Whatever he's doing, me and my wife, we're supporting. And his dad.
Amen.
Gonna support it.
And we appreciate all that. We appreciate all that.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think it's good and stuff. I just need to be able to try and do for the youth and stuff. Listen to them. I try to listen to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to them. I broke back into coaching and stuff. So on Mondays now, Monday night from 5:30 to 7, I'll go coaching a bunch of kids and stuff. So play basketball.
Oh, that's a plus. Yeah,
I really love it, man. You know, get the kids and stuff, you know, sit them down, listen to them. Well, what do you think you want to do? What do you want to do and stuff? What can you do? You know, and just to hear, they are so smart. They are so intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like untapped potential. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, talk to a kid 6 years old, know more about computers and know more about the equipment than I do, than I will ever know. You know? So, well, Mr. Parks, this is the way you do that, and you do it like this. I love it, man. I love it. There's absolutely nothing else like it, period. You know.
Amen. Well, think about some young people, all the work that you can get done with them because they know what to do. You can tell them what to do and they do it for you.
It's nothing else like it. You know, you get with them and you guide them to things and you show them how to do this stuff and then you stay on top of them.
Yeah.
Top of them and stuff. And you let them go. Do your thing and stuff. You bring them back and say, okay, now how did that work for you? Was that okay? What did you enjoy? And my whole thing is that I don't care what you're doing. You got to have some fun doing it, you know.
You got to have some fun doing your homework,
you know. You better get interested in it and stuff. And your toughest subject. The hardest subject that you got, that's the one that you gonna make you money. The toughest subject is gonna make you money. You know, you wanna get rich, you wanna make a lot of money, your toughest subject that the teacher is teaching you, you learn that. If you master that, you can do anything. And they be getting on it too, you know. And then we got this little thing, is you get $5 for an aid. Right. All the little kids on it. I got 100 kids, man.
Only $5?
Yeah.
I was giving $20.
If I could afford it, I would probably be putting that kind on too. But every little kid know that show me your, when you get your report card and stuff, I'm gonna have $200. Okay, and then once it's gone, it's gone. So you better show me your report card. Get your parents' permission to show me your report card. And I'm going to pay for you. So everybody come after the money is gone. Guess what? Better luck next time.
You
don't
get it, man.
You know, you ain't going to get it. You know, I'll be having coffee, texting me, "Oh, surprise, I got my report card and stuff." You know, okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell your mom, tell your dad, I'm going to come by there and I'm going to look at your report card and stuff. You know, you got to make sure you tell them. If you don't tell them this stuff, then guess what? You know, they have mom standing there and dad standing there and stuff. Okay, here you go. Payday time, man. You know.
Well, you all, it's good. It's all good. What's right now is good for later, right later. Yeah. So we're going to close our show out. This, we've had a couple of hours, a couple of wonderful hours, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all coming through and talking about our topic of the day, which is a good one.
Do it now.
It's a good one. If we can continue. Yes. It is. It's good. It's right now, right later. And we never did get to
talk about it. Right now, right
later. But
I'm going to keep y'all apprised of this doing my show. I'm going to keep everybody apprised of this particular one. Oh, and that's two on the table and stuff there. The one we got going with Dustin about the men project.
The strong men.
You know, I'm waiting on them to say what it's going to be. I was going to have it just go ahead and have t-shirts printed out, but I didn't want to, jump ahead of everybody. I'm going to give everybody a little thought process, and then I'm going to pay for the shirts or what they're going to say, and then, Reverend, you're going to definitely get a shirt because you're going to be invited to the show every time. You know,
He needs to know what it is that you're talking about, Mr. Park.
We just got together on our neighbor's show 3 weeks ago. Myself, Dustin, and I forget those
couple
other,
other gentlemen.
Other couple of other gentlemen.
Aaron was on the show tonight.
And
Wally and Chris.
Okay, we were talking about what is a strong black man? Okay.
Mm.
What does a strong black man do? You know? And then we further talked about being a strong black man, a strong black man to strong black men.
Mm.
And then we try to, and Dustin is just trying to figure out the entry into that so that we can draw black men across the board and that are working with young men, working with young black men. So we got strong men working with young men so that they can become strong men, you know.
Amen.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag on what Dustin's is because it was his idea. You know, normally I would have just took the idea, got my grandson and stuff to print up the thing and just been giving them to men and stuff that I know that's going to be involved. Oh, and Inez, you're going to get it. You're going to get one, too. Yours is going to be special. your shirt is going to be special and stuff, you know.
What's mine going to say? I work with strong black men. Strong black men.
We're going to be saying you the headest, you know.
Oh Lord!
I think all black men, like I got from my mom. I got from my mom and my grandma. Okay, I don't think I'd be nobody without that. You know.
Right.
So I'm giving the homage to where it's supposed to go. You know.
Amen.
But still, there is a role for strong black men. There is a role for strong black men and stuff. It's time and patience. Two ingredients that we got to use with each other. We got to use some time and some patience and stuff. And it don't care about what your education level is. It really don't care about where you've been and stuff. You know, what you bring to the table and stuff that we can come out running with.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what that is right there, brother. That's the message. The message right there.
And do
yes,
it where you at. You know, get three or
do
four.
Do it where you at.
Get three or four men you want to work with, and then bring them to the table and stuff. What have you done with them? Maybe I can do something with these here. You know, and trying to reach them so that they have a foundation to fight what's coming at them. You know,
we
need to be preparing them for what's coming at them. And then one of them things is how you treat women, how you supposed to treat women, you know.
And create relationship with the women in the community. It's a very important role. There needs to be separatism from the African-American male with the African-American woman. They need to be working together because she can complete him in some ways that will help him. I'm sick of that. Leave the black powerful woman out. I'm sick of that, man. That's crazy.
That's first blood. That's what my granny used to say. That's first blood and stuff, boy. You know, that's first blood.
Yeah, somehow.
You gotta protect your woman. You gotta protect your sisters. You gotta protect your family. You know, that's first blood.
That's right.
So,
and some of these sisters, when they hear the right thing coming out of the right mouth with righteousness of God, you'd be surprised if some of them would go into their stash and put something out there just to see what you do with it.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's right.
So we thank you for every one of y'all for joining us today. So it's good. It's a good one.
Amen.
And we can always come back and revisit, you know, because there's a few of them that we need to revisit, like generational curses, breaking generational curses. And, right now is right now, right later. There's a few things that we can come back and visit because that's what the topic was today, is right now, right later, and not necessarily so. And sometimes it is. So we just thank you guys for all my guests who have joined me, and just welcome. Just thank you. And let's see, announcements we have today. We have Bible study tomorrow night with the Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough. And that's May 11th, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And May 12th, the View of the Kingdom, we'll probably do a rerun. The topic was God, the Ideal Woman, as we were just talking about. And that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And it's also my birthday on May 12th, Thursday. I'm going to be in the air and everywhere.
Happy birthday. Sister Agnes, can I say something?
Yes.
I want to challenge everybody tonight. Since it's Sister Agnes' birthday next week, I want to challenge everybody tonight to cash app her $100. I'm first. She'll get mine in just a minute here. But if you don't have cash app, you have other means of doing it, then do it. But let's do that for her because she's working entirely for us and for this platform, which is so necessary. We need this platform, and we need more people to be on it because it is a very vital situation in this era of time that we live in.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Hey, Annette, send me what you want me to send it.
I'll tell you what it is. Let's see. I'll text you because he's not gonna remember.
Yeah,
anything.
Text me and stuff where you want it, and I'll cash your check it to you wherever you want it. So I'm down with that, bro.
Okay.
Thank you, Sergeant Fine. And she'll get back here in just a minute.
You.
And anybody else listening tonight? We're doing this. Annette's birthday is coming up next week, and she's
Thursday,
working for all of us.
Not next week, Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, everybody listening,
okay.
I said next Thursday, but it's Thursday. Annette's going to be a little younger than what she is now, you know. So we want to make her feel loved by us, who she helped us put these platforms out, shows out here. She do it entirely She do it for everybody, and she's good for everybody. If you notice, she's got the same beautiful personality for everybody that's got a show. She don't show favoritism. She get down with it. So I think that we should encourage her with the little money that we would go out and eat a steak with. Do you know steak costs you $56 if it's a decent one?
Mm-hmm.
Where you eating steak at? I will pay $105.
I know. Huh? You say what side you
said? I stay calm more than that.
What, see what I'm talking about? So, I'm in the country.
That's so funny.
They got a lot of cows down here, man. You know?
Okay, all right.
That's funny. You go get your own cow, huh?
Hey, look here. But see, you see how we spend that kind of money for just a little piece of steak? Well, then our sister is doing a service. Some soul, some person, hear the information and make up in their mind, wow, this is what I need to be doing. Wow, this is what a reality set in. So now you got somebody else thinking like the group. Then if they got money, they're going to go get their money, going to say, well, I want to put mine in. I want to put mine in. After a while, you got money coming from all around the country to build cities with people of color. It can be done. Now, wait a minute. Let me go back. If the slaves had enough education back there then in the fields to save money, to send money to where the Pentagon sits right here, Freedman Bank was right there, and if they could send money around the country, these people, now they hadn't been to the schools. They just field people. Come off the boat. Work in the fields.
That's right.
But they had enough They had enough sense and unity to make connection with their people all over the country and put $58 million doing slavery right there where the Pentagon is sitting right now.
Amen.
I don't even know where Washington paid them for the land or not.
You know they didn't.
No,
they did. That's the first thing they're going to take. Just like California and everybody. Find out these black folks and stuff on the, what's the name of that beach that they own and stuff in Los Angeles and stuff they want to get
in
them.
Los Angeles? Yeah.
Yeah. They took it from them and stuff, and now they talking about now they going to give them some of the, give them
trying to give
something.
Them back.
Yeah. You know, same thing in Oklahoma. You said,
Venus,
they trying to pay them. They trying to pay them too. You know, because what they're doing, like you said, Reverend, they rebuild that and they got people coming back. Okay, they rebuild Black Wall Street and they got people coming back.
Yeah,
that's a true statement. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to be doing.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. We need to quit groaning and moaning. You know what I mean? Quit groaning and moaning and get to work. Stop groaning and moaning. Stop the haves and the have nots. Stop all that foolishness among us.
Right.
And let's unify and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
With the help of God, love for one another, that want to see a better day, let's make it happen. It's time out for us not doing anything anymore in our community, taking all the knowledge and everything, going elsewhere, but then your grandma and granddad is still in the same place where you abandoned.
That's right.
Yeah.
How you gonna feel good and sleep good? You over here in Sugar Hill and then grandma and them over there living like animals. And that's the same place you slept in. That's the same table you had in, ate at.
That's right.
Well, anyway, our announcement. I know, because we could be on here all night. Sunday, we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson from Yakima with the Sunday service, third Sunday service, 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And she was on the line with us this evening. Then we also have Reverend Ron with his Don't Turn Away From God album through iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and all music media that you can now purchase his music. And we usually play a lot of his music throughout some of the segments. So please, please, please go and support our
Amen.
Reverend
Amen.
Ron Marshall.
I need to get that album. So I need to send me a hookup so I can get that.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Thank you,
All right, I'll send that to you as well. And to keep the show on the air, the Cash App is $ANAISEVALCOUR. Again, that's $ANAISEVALCOUR. And if you have a topic that you'd like to discuss, let's talk about it. It's Tuesday night, or if you want to have a night, you know, please email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to share all these things on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, don't be bitter, you know, TikTok, We Rock, you know, whatever you want, whatever social media platforms you have. And you can also listen to any previous episode of these shows, mm-hmm. and you can re-listen to this show tonight by going to the homepage of doitallinthemall.com and click on the radio icon on the right-hand side of the page, and you can pick any episode that you'd like to hear. You can share it. You can tell people about it and just listen to it and just, you know, because this, God's Ideal Woman, that was heard over 100 times. Yes, 100 times. So that's going to be one Thursday so that we can hear it again 100 times, because you can never get enough of the ideal of God's ideal woman. So
right.
Thank you again, everybody, for listening in, tuning in, clicking in through the chat. I've been your hostess, Miss Inez, for the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Alco Designs, and that is at www.ANAISEVALCOUR.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under the same, Anais Valcou. So again, thank you for joining us, and tune in tomorrow for Bible study. And don't keep it to yourself. Share with everybody. You know, I send out the links to people. You can send them and forward them to other people so that they can also tune in, click the link. You know, stop in, call us at 845-241-9985 and join us. And if you have something on your chest, let's talk about it on Tuesdays with Ms. Inez says. Let's talk about it. And we could be discussing your topic. So I want you to be happy in the skin you're in. And oh, yeah, give something away free. This is how you give it away free, like a smile, because it's painless, it's free. It doesn't hurt nobody. And watch the value of person appreciate. And if you're going to be anything, be kind to each mm-hmm. other. So please, please, please be kind to each other, one to another, because, you know, you can't ever get enough of kindness. And so as we close out today, we will close out as I'm going to do it all in the mall prayer. And, the lesson for tomorrow night is called First Things First, and that is taken from Matthew 6:25-34, First Things First. So you might want to read that before you tune in tomorrow at Bible study, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. So here is the prayer. To do it on the mall prayer, and please be safe until we meet again. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.